Something that brings them into your fantasy rather than, oh, I've been afraid to tell you that. I've got this latex. I think it's weird that I have a spandex fetish. And do you think it's... No. When you celebrate it, your partner's going to celebrate it. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Question. Have you ever been into something so strongly you couldn't stop fantasizing about it? Maybe it's getting spanked or tied up, to name a couple common turn-ons. Well, whatever your turn-on is, does it arouse you so much that you just have to make it a reality? Or are you apprehensive to turn your fantasy IRL? Well, on today's episode, I'm taking your calls on kinks, fetishes, and everything in between. I'll teach you how to introduce your fantasy to a partner, especially if you're turned on by something very specific, from spandex to group sex, squirting to infantilization. I'll help you understand the difference between a kink and a fetish, how to safely explore your options, and how to communicate your desires to a partner. All this and more on today's Turn On Show. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I like to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. My intention is to empower you all to embrace anything and everything that really turns you on, even if you think it might be embarrassing or strange. Once you're comfortable with your own sexual interests, you'll be able to communicate more efficiently with your partners, explore your sexual boundaries, and ultimately have better sex than ever before. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. And let me take a moment to say that it really does help us if you just take a moment right now and rate the show or review it, whatever app you're listening on. It really does help the show. Also, my new article, Cuffing Season, is officially over. Here's your sexy survival kit, is up at sexwithemily.com. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And as always, you can change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into today's show, I need to tell you about something, some big news if you haven't heard. I am coming out with a book. It's called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. It can be in your hot little hands June 13th, but if you could pre-order it now, I would be so grateful. You can do it at sexwithemily.com. All you have to do is go to the drop-down menu and select New Book, and it'll be easy from there. And you can also request that your libraries or pre-order from indie bookstores like Unabridged Bookstore. That really helps, as well as do the pre-orders. If you know you're going to buy the book, so helpful just to pre-order it now. We'll also put this link in the show notes. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy this episode. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. All right, before I get into everything here, I just want to start off real quick by breaking down the difference between a kink and a fetish. Because often these are used interchangeably, but they're actually quite different. You always hear people say like, oh, I've got a fetish for ice cream, or I've got a fetish for, you know, people who have long hair. But let me just explain to you what they actually mean. Okay, a kink is really anything that's not conventional sex. people might think that oral sex is kinky or hair pulling is kinky. So anything that's not conventional sex is really typically kissing and penetration. So anything that's not that is a kink. And a fetish essentially is a kink that is a requirement for arousal. So what I mean by that is, you know, a kink is sort of a nice to have. It'd be nice if I had these things around that turn me on, but a fetish is a requirement. Meaning if your partner is not wearing spandex, you're not going to be aroused. You're not going to be turned on. You won't have an orgasm. If your partner doesn't talk dirty to you, you will not be aroused or turned on. So a fetish, like, it has to be there for your arousal. Okay? That clear? Let me know if you have questions about that. Okay, let's get into this. Because our first caller is actually one of my good friends, Kate. She just had a pretty interesting experience with one of her partners, and I wanted to share with all of you. So, Kate, hi. Tell us exactly what happened.
We just got for about a month. We slept together probably two other times. The last time he did a similar thing. So this past time, he's about to come, and he says, tell me everything's going to be okay. I go, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And then he said, tell me you'll take care of me. And I was like, I'll take care of you.
Just like so that? Like, I'll take, last, okay.
Yeah. And so the last time we had sex, he also had said, tell me everything's going to be okay. And I thought, oh, I'm kind of drunk. Maybe I made that up. Maybe he didn't actually say that.
Right.
So this
right.
is the second time he had said that. Afterwards, he's like, hey, so I'm sorry if that was like uncomfortable for you to say. And I was like, yeah, I think that's just like very intimate. That's like a very intimate situation.
Right.
And then, yeah. And then he made a joke about like therapy, but it threw me
yeah.
a lot. And okay. he didn't want to go, he like, didn't go into it after that. And I just, yeah.
Huh. So let me just explain this. So you've had sex like twice now, three times, and two
yeah.
times that you slept with him, he's about to ejaculate. Like he's going at it. You're
yeah.
having sex. And he says,
yeah.
he says, Kate, tell me everything's going to
yeah.
be okay.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, everything's going to be okay. He's like, tell me you'll take care of me. And you go, yeah. And then he comes.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. Now, before that moment, have you had your orgasm?
So I have not had my orgasm. He's trying really hard. The first time we had sex isn't that great for me, but I think it can get there. Definitely open for things, but like it's for me, it's not. It's
okay.
not.
Okay. So to me, I feel like it sounds like there's some kind of maybe a fetish, maybe a fantasy, like there's something called paraphilic infantilism. And I was thinking infantilized. Remember I was like, oh, I think it's,
yeah.
he sounds infantilized. Because you also said that he called your breasts.
Yeah.
What did he call them?
We were in the shower and he called them boobies.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
freaked me out. It freaked me out.
Okay. So
Yeah, he said it once. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, but was he like, I like your boobies? He was like, boobies. Like, how did he say it?
He was like holding them. And like, you're in the shower. And he said something like, something, something, something. He like made like a cutesy thing. And it was like, and said something like, boobies. Something, 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 boobies.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like if he wants to be cared for, he wants to be nurtured. To me, it's some kind of, and do something maybe with his mother, his family growing up. He wants to feel safe and nurtured. And clearly, he likely wants to be dominated. So you would be in the dominant role.
So
yeah.
That's funny you say that because I had said something the other night. Because in therapy, I was talking about how there's some things that I do, apparently, that I bruise a lot of these guys.
Ooh.
And my therapist, yeah, I just recently realized that was, like, not good.
Well, what
and,
do you do? Okay, keep going.
Well, the past three guys I've been with, they've texted me a picture, and there's, like, a small bruise, like, near their chest, shoulder area, and I'm always like, get over it, like, calm down. But this past time, I was like, okay, maybe this is not great that I keep bruising these guys. So the last time we hooked up, I said something about me being, I was like, oh, I kind of think I like this dom role. I feel like I should, you know. So I did say that.
Do you, though?
Oh, yeah.
And how are they bruised? Are they bruised for you, like, are you biting? Are you
slapping? It's my hands. I think I'm just pushing. I think I'm pushing very hard on my thumbs. I think I'm just pressing really hard down on them, like, when I'm on top. I think I'm just, like, putting
okay.
a lot of and
right.
all of my power. And I'm strong.
Yes, you are strong. Right. No, you are. Okay, so maybe you are dumb. So you
yeah.
enjoy having the power in the bedroom.
I think so. I think that is something I'd like to explore more of.
Oh, okay.
I definitely said something about, I definitely did mention that the last time. So that is
What did you say? Yeah, what did you say? Did you say, like, to him, about the bruising, and you're like, oh, maybe I like
yeah.
to be.
That's exactly what I said. I said, sorry, brother, maybe I think I might, like this dom role situation.
Yeah.
He's like, I see that.
Okay.
Yeah, he just likes to see that and we move.
So maybe there is a part of it that he felt safe to be like, well, if she's a dom, then I'm going to say, tell me everything's going to be okay. And how did that feel?
It felt very mommy, very like I was not his partner having sex. I was like something else.
Well, it's like a disassociation because, and I'm not even saying that it's necessarily a fetish for sure, but maybe it's just like a fantasy he has, because a fetish would mean that it's like required for him to orgasm. He has to be in that infantile role. But maybe if you like this guy, which I would recommend, is just say like, you know, you could flip the scenario. It could be like teacher, student. There's other dom sub roles that you could play with. But if he has to be a baby or has to be taken care of, that's different. But if it's just dom sub, and maybe he doesn't know yet either, because the truth is, a lot of us are more flexible than we realize. It's just about compromising and talking to him about it.
So what do I do? So how do I... What
exactly.
Is
great next question. So I would like go to dinner, and this is not okay. Something that you talk about in the bedroom, like
right,
before
right.
Sex or after. It's like hanging out, having a drink, not over text, right. Obviously, but just say like, yeah. Hey, you know, I was thinking about our sex. It's really... Tell him something you like about it. Like, oh, okay. I really love the way you... kiss me, go down on me.
Yeah.
Dirty. Mm-hmm. Say, and I was thinking about the end. Yeah, I was thinking about, like, I know after you're about to, you know, you say, like, you want me to take care of you. And I was thinking about that because I've been a little bit more dominant in bed. Or you could say, I was thinking about that more and I wanted you to know what, tell me more about that. I'm so curious. And so the big thing, Kate, is to come to it from like a curious place and like a relaxed place that's more like, you know, because he's probably, I'm going to guess he hasn't talked about it with anyone or many people that have curiously asked. And then you could kind of like find out, well, he's like, oh yeah, well, I've always had this fantasy or I like being, find out more information. And then you guys could have an actual like, oh, interesting. That's okay. Well, I've thought, and then you could say like, and I've been thinking about being more dominant and what that looks like. And then you could just have a like, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about from a sexual place versus talking about like, versus, oh, there might be some trauma.
Well, I know. I go there too. I'm like, was there trauma? Because that's the truth though. Here's the thing. If he's not able to meet you at this place, like if he's like, oh, I can't talk about it or he freaks out, then he hasn't, you know, there's some trauma. Like there actually could be some trauma here. I'm telling you best case scenario. He's like, cool. So I'll be the student. And then you're going to bring me over your knee and spank me. But the truth is he might not be self-aware and there could be some stuff, you know, that went on with his family, some abuse. And if it is trauma that is untreated, that can be a challenge down the road or even now. So, so next step, healthy conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, good. I think it's fascinating, really. Yeah. So, you know, see what happens. You have to let me know what happens after, okay, Kate?
Oh, my God, I will.
Okay. I'll see you soon. Thank you. I love it.
Let's talk to Greg, 55, in Ohio. Hi, Greg. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Emily. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. Tell me everything.
Well, I find myself over the last few years really enjoying BDSM play. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out a way to bring that experience to my significant other or how to introduce her to that. And I'm not sure how to go about it.
Okay. Is this your partner, your wife?
Partner, yes.
Okay. Tell me about your sex life right now. Have you talked to her about it? Have you ever talked about what you guys are both into and your turn-ons?
We have. She's very timid about it. I find the whole eroticism with BDSM and the bondage and that side be very erotic and very fulfilling. And I try to talk to her about it and about my reasons. She kind of just shuts me down a bit on it. And she thinks that it's kind of taboo, I guess.
Well, it is kind of taboo, but that's why it can be hot. Well, here's the thing is that sometimes people hear BDSM, we're talking about bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, which, you know, if you saw 50 Shades of Grey, which was like a, you know, the PR campaign for BDSM, unfortunately, it's not very accurate. That's not what it looks like. You don't need like a crazy red room of pain and all the equipment. It's more about power play and like it could be more about just wearing a blindfold. Right? Maybe there's a spanking here and there. So I think that people have all of these different ideas about what it means. But the best part of that is that we all get to decide what it looks like for us. So, Greg, how long have you guys been together?
About 4 years.
4 years. Okay. What she might need to do is kind of explain to her what you think it means. Like how that would look and why you're into it. You know, sometimes when we want to talk about a fantasy with a partner, a tip would be to say, I've been thinking about this fantasy and I want to continue to make our sex life awesome and grow together. And I thought it'd be cool if we talk about things that we're into and what turns us on. And I have this fantasy. And my fantasy is this. And then you get to explain it, Greg. Like walk through a scenario with her. Because so often we'll just drop these things like, I want you to be rough in bed. And then you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Do you want me to throw me against the wall? Do you want me to spank me? Like, what does that mean? Do you have a fantasy in your mind, or do you have a scenario in your mind of how this would go down? Because then you could explain to her, and then you could say, I'm thinking we could do something like this, and here's why. And then you have to explain, like, because, you know, why, Greg? Like, why it turned you on, and then what she might get out of it. So, Greg, have you kind of thought this through?
Not to that level, I haven't. I really have been at a loss on how to best approach it. Like, I've played some hints to her and thought, I just kind of get a cold approach, so I backed off on, you know, furthering that discussion. So I'm just trying to look at other avenues on how to introduce it.
I mean, that makes sense. So you've been together 4 years. Have you guys talked about your fantasies, what you're into, your turn-ons? Have you ever had that at all?
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Her fantasies are definitely a little different than my interests, but they're her fantasies, which I respect.
What's her fantasy? Give me one of them.
Well, her fantasy really is she would like to introduce another male into the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, that's a little different. Well, how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. It just depends on where it would go, I guess. Like I said, I'm more in the submissive role. So
Okay, so you want to be the submissive and you want her to be dominant.
Yes.
And she would want to be with another man. Is she a little bit more conservative?
A little more traditional, yeah.
Traditional.
That's probably a good way to put it.
I'd never tell you we'll go to like zero to threesome. You really have to sort of ease into that. But what would be really cool, sure, and I think very enlightening for both of you, is to do something like, we have this great thing on our website, sexwithemily.com. It's called the Yes, No, Maybe list. And we can also put it on the show notes. But it could be a fun thing one night when you guys are having dinner, pour a glass of wine, and you can read this list, and it literally has every sex act you can think of, right? Like spanking and kissing and, you know, it's like cuddling, domination, submission, dirty talk. And each one of you fill it out. You could either say, yes, I'm interested. This is a no, and this is a maybe. And that could be a great starting point to see where you have yeses. And then some of the maybes could also be great talking points. Like there's things on there that you might never even have thought you were interested in. I think that you can both get your needs met, but I think she'd have to understand, like, do you think that she could be dominant at all?
I think she could to a point, but I don't think she could. She would struggle with it, I would feel. She'd be
right. Well, it's a skill. I mean, you could also switch and take turns. Like, you know, you could be dominant, she could be dominant. But it sounds like there's some education. So much about, like, being fulfilling lovers to each other is one part exploration, one part, like, education. And so maybe you could watch some videos together, show her some things, like some scenes. This might be helpful as well. You could take any of these, Greg. Go whatever direction you want. But you could say, I want to show you what I'm into. Like, here's this scene that I like in porn, or you could read her some erotica and say, this is how I picture it. Who knows? Like maybe she would be into that. She'd be like, oh, I think that'd be really hot to try that. You know, you could try something with just a blindfold. I mean, this is an easy way to start this kind of play. It's just a blindfold. One person has power over the other person. And maybe you could do some more like thinking about how you actually want it all to unfold. But before you go with your fantasy, I would again start somewhere where you're both on neutral ground, just trying to say, hey, let's really focus on prioritizing our pleasure in our sex life. First of all, we can continue to be great lovers to each other and then also help, you know, evolve. Because once you learn how to break through these barriers, and so many couples have them, then you'll have that foundation in place for the time that you're together. And then it'll become something fun. But you're in the awkward, uncomfortable phase where you both have never talked about it. We've got tons of stuff on our website too. Great beginner BDSM articles, and there's a lot of blog posts there. So, yeah, Greg.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Of course.
I'll check out the website.
Keep me posted.
Yeah, I will do that.
Okay, please. You can even just have the one conversation and then see, like, where you go from here. Thanks, Greg, for your call. I was thinking about games. You know, we have so many fun games. And, you know, I'm always looking for easy ways for couples to kind of get into these conversations that are really, really hard to have. And there's board games. There's a BDSM game. There's a kink game. There's a talking dirty game. So you could, like, play together and, like, have the game lead the conversation. Blame it on the game. It'll make you have tough talks. This is from Brittany, 33, in Florida. Hi, Dr. Emily. Thank you for offering your services to everyone. I truly believe this subject needs to be spoken about more. My boyfriend and I have been together for 6 years. We are at an amazing point in our relationship and our sex life is blossoming into an amazing journey. However, my boyfriend is very sensitive. He literally does math in his head to focus and not to orgasm so quickly. I recently opened up and asked him if he has any fetishes, and he showed me the type of porn he likes. We've had great conversations about it, tried it, and loved it. I also opened up about the porn I like to watch, threesomes. Since then, we've been talking about it and hypothetically speaking as if we truly plan on having a threesome, just as a fun thing. However, his main concern with a threesome is his premature ejaculation. I don't want my boyfriend to once again have these issues and not get to enjoy this type of play. Sometimes he can go for hours and not have an issue. He can get an erection, no problem, but keeping his erection is the issue no matter how turned on he is 85% of the time. What can we do? Just talk to the third person about this and see if it's okay to work around it. Thanks so much for reading this. I truly appreciate it. It's completely new for me and I have no one to talk to you about this. XOXO Brittany. Brittany, I'm so glad you found me and the show. I am here. I am your friend. Let's talk about it. That's how I feel. I feel like we're all friends. Like, just hit me up, right? I got you. First, let me say this. I really appreciate hearing the ways that you are having these thoughtful conversations about having a threesome, because there's many reasons I will tell couples not to have a threesome. Like, if you don't trust each other, if only one of you wants and the other person doesn't want it, if you're using it to spice up your relationship, you don't discuss boundaries and details ahead of time. Those are all the reasons that, like, you should never have a threesome. But you're doing it in the way that I highly recommend. You're discussing it, you're dirty talking it sounds like, or you're discussing the hypotheticals, which, by the way, that's what I encourage couples to do, is to be like, hey, babe, right now I'm picturing a threesome happening and, you know, you're going down in someone or there's another guy coming up behind you. And believe it or not, like, that can be a way to really get as close as you can to having a threesome without it happening and see, like, how does it make me feel? What are the boundaries that we'd want to put in place? You know, even if it's the hypothetical and you're thinking, oh God, right now I'm picturing my partner making out with someone, it made me really uncomfortable. Well, that means you might want to take kissing off the table. You might want to take penetration off the table should the threesome happen. I don't want your partner's penis challenges to get in the way of this incredible threesome. This should not be preventing you from having a threesome at all. And there's a lot of solutions and a lot of ways to work through this. PE, I talk about that a lot on the show. It sounds like his PE, premature ejaculation, and his erectile challenges are sort of folding into each other. There's a lot of things that go into this. You know, your overall penis challenges can stem back to his health. How is his overall health and wellness? Remember, your ability to get erect, stay erect can be a factor of your nutrition and your exercise. If you're not moving your body a lot, you're not exercising, there could be a blood flow challenge. If you're not eating healthy foods or there's a lot of alcohol or a lot of drugs, it could affect your ability to stay as hard as you want to. How about hormones? You might only be in his 30s right now, but you know, it's never too soon to get a handle on your hormones. I'd also want to know, how long has it been happening? You know, how is his anxiety, his mental state? Is he on any medications that could be affecting his penis? Because whether it's about a threesome or not, I'd love him to get more info about why and how this is happening for him. There's one thing that I think is really interesting, and you guys know that I love penis rings. There is actually this new technology by a company called FirmTech. They have performance and tech rings. So these are like penis rings I've never seen before. They have a performance ring that has this asymmetrical latch and loop design that makes it super easy to take on and off. So essentially, you don't need to put it over your entire penis. You secure it at the base of the penis and the testicles. And here's why this is different. It slows the blood flow leaving the penis, which is why we all love cock rings, because it helps with blood flow and it helps to sustain erections. It helps to delay orgasms and have longer lasting orgasms as well, which it's just a really unique technology. They also have a tech ring. This is the part that's like a Fitbit for your penis, which I've never seen anything like this. Get this. It can track the vital signs of your erectile fitness. So over time, the duration of your erections, how firm your penis gets, the number of nocturnal erections, which indicates your cardiovascular health. Remember, your heart health and your penis health are linked, which is why your sexual health is so important. Get checked by your doctor. get checked by, you know, your urologist. So the FirmTech is my new obsession. It's splash-proof. It's USB rechargeable. I want to know what you think about it. So you can save 20% with the code EMILY20 at myfirmtech.com. That's EMILY20, 20% off at myfirmtech.com. TECH.com. We'll put that in the show notes. It's just a really fun penis ring. So, Brittany, for the challenges you describe right now, I just thought this would be something that the FirmTech would be great for. But let me just say this. Right now, before you jump into the threesome, practice with your partner some of these things. Like get a toy, get the FirmTech, start to kind of play around, see if you can help ease his anxiety. Let me remind you that this whole notion that sex is this linear thing, like we make out, we kiss, we ejaculate, we fall asleep. Remember, sometimes you have an erection and then you lose your erection. So guess what happens? Maybe like he starts to please you, then the erection comes back. It is like a dance. Move to something else in the moment. We're going to go back to kissing. We're going to go back to oral sex. We're going to go back to maybe we stop and get a sandwich. Like it's all okay. Especially in a threesome, it's sort of like threesomes are not scripted. No sex is scripted. But a threesome's too, I don't think anyone's going like, first off, let me say this about a threesome is that if it's a penis with two vulvas, like first off, penises have a lot of pressure anyway. Like I got to be erect. I got to be turned on. I got to know what's going on. I don't know who put all this pressure on the penis, but I think that I can tell you that we're all pretty cool. We get it. We don't expect you to always be, you know, standing at attention. So maybe you'll get your erection. Maybe you'll lose erection. Maybe this is the time for him to please you or you're pleasing the other person. It's a dance and you're all in it together. You're leading and you're following and you're moving in of it, you're moving out of it. And I think that the less pressure you can put on yourselves and the more you feel comfortable with this third, I mean, let's talk about finding a third partner that you both feel safe and comfortable with, that you shouldn't feel like I gotta show up and I gotta be erect the entire time. You're all in this together and you all want to have the most pleasure. And I don't know about you, but the partners I feel the best with are the ones that really, you know, make me feel safe and they're comfortable and they're just happy. We're happy all to be together and connecting. So it's like less about judging everyone's, you know, erectile performance or vaginal performance. It's really about the connection the three of you have and being kind and being receptive and being open to go with the flow and just to have a good time. And I don't think anyone ever says, well, the threesome was the best because we all came at the same time and we checked off three orgasms and it was over. Usually it's about we all got along and there was really great energy and really great flow and we had a good time and we all felt safe and we all had a lot of pleasure. That's what it's about. It's not about checking off boxes about how everyone has to perform, because I don't know about you, that just sounds really stressful for me. So find some good partners, continue to communicate, and continue to work on your emotional, physical, and spiritual health, and you're all going to be A-okay. All right, stick around, because after the break, I'm talking with callers about squirting, exhibitionism, and spandex fetishes. You won't want to miss this. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I am pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code EMILY. That's EMILY at hero.co. Let's talk to Carla 51 in Vegas. Hey, Carla, what's going on? How can I help?
Hi, Emily. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I wanted to know, I'm in a great relationship with my boyfriend. We've been together for 14 years, and everything is great. We like to try new things. But one of the things we wanted to try was I'm somewhat of an exhibitionist. I like that type of thing. And I've heard that there are places to go, cruises to go on,
yes,
or retreats to go on as couples. But I don't know where to look, and I don't know what's real, and I don't know what's,
start
researching that
No,
stuff.
That's a great question. It's funny you say that because there are some really good places. It's funny because I was just at this spa a few weeks ago near San Diego, and the woman who works there said to me, oh, and right over there, we were like hiking up in these mountains. It's near San Diego. She goes, and over there is like an exhibitionist place. I was like, really? Like, I want to go there. Like, I just think it'd be curious, like that everyone knows that it's there and I wanted to know more about it. I think there's definitely some in California. I would have to look for you because I actually don't have the names of it, but what the sources I could tell you to go to would perhaps be FetLife. FetLife, perhaps Cassidy, which is a swinger website, Kasedie. And what you mean by exhibitionist is, let me just explain to you, is that you would like to go somewhere where you could be naked the whole time or a lot of the time. Is that it?
Yeah. And I also like the idea of folks watching us have sex.
Okay. So more like sex parties. So would you be comfortable, like, would you even just want to go to like a play party somewhere or like a swinger party?
Yes.
So just for a night or something. I don't know why. For some reason, I was thinking about this retreat, and you mentioned cruises. There's places in Vegas. My friend Holly and Michael, they opened a club in Vegas like a year ago. They invited me to. Oh, you actually want to leave Vegas. I always tell everyone to go to Vegas to do these things. I'm like, go to Vegas. You can find a third for your threesome. But you live there. You're like, I don't want to see my assistant at this sex club. I get it.
Exactly. So, right. But I'm also of the mindset, well, I'm there and they're there too. So what have I got to be ashamed
of? Well, that's what I say too.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, we're all here together. I mean, these are called
exactly.
play parties. There's like,
okay.
You know, I would go to the places I said, we'll put it in the show notes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good
Thank
place
you
to start.
So much.
Of course, Carla, let me know how it goes. Please call me back. I always want to know. Like, how was your first party experience? Thanks, Carla. Okay. This is from Tiffany, 29 in California. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been following you for a while and I love your advice. My question is, how can I squirt more? I've only been able to do it once when I had my very first sexual experience, but have not been able to do it since. Does it have to do with hydration? I've had amazing sex, but still cannot orgasm and or squirt, though I still really enjoy the sex. Could it be because I used vibrators so early on in high school? That's the only way I'm used to having an orgasm. And even using toys, I still can't squirt. Any tips will be appreciated. Congratulations on your show and all your accomplishments. Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate you. Gosh, what a wonderful question. All right, let's just get into squirting, okay? Let me just break it down. People always want to know about squirting. Squirting, is it real? Can everybody squirt? Is squirting pee? So there's a lot of debate over the pee debate. Is it pee? First, I say, who cares? Throw a blanket down. Does it matter? Does it feel good? That's what's the most important thing is. But yes, there are traces of urine in it, but we also have fluids that are not from the bladder included in squirting. But let's move on. What is squirting? So squirting is stimulation internally, having stimulation where there is fluid that is expelled. And I just want to say this, that squirting is not always associated with orgasm. You can squirt an orgasm. You can orgasm and not squirt. You can squirt and not orgasm. You get what I'm saying. It's not always related. So squirting can feel like a wonderful release without orgasm. And I don't want everyone to get tripped up on that. They all come together and that would be amazing. And I think there's a lot of pressure right now. I have to tell you that I've been doing this for almost 20 years and that before porn became like readily available in our pockets because of smartphones, nobody was really asking about squirting. But now I think because of porn, it's become this like pinnacle experience that so many vulva owners and their partners want to happen. And for some, they do it like, it wasn't a big deal or I don't really care. But it seems to be this goal. And so either way, I want to say there's nothing wrong with you if you can't squirt. I do believe that a lot of vulva owners can learn to squirt. So let me just break it down for you. First, like I said, throw down a sheet or a towel and just note that it's squirting. It's going to get wet. It's going to get messy. And I'd like to say that's what sex is all about. It can be beautiful. It can be hot. It can be sexy. And it can be very wet and messy. Number two, yes, you want to make sure that you're hydrated. That can be a factor. This hasn't been extensively researched, but being hydrated overall helps all of our functioning, so it can really facilitate healthy sexual functioning. It can help with orgasm, but staying hydrated is great for your overall health, so why not stay hydrated and see if it helps with squirting. The other thing is you got to give yourself a lot of time to get turned on. You're not just going to like all of a sudden squirt all willy-nilly, like, oh, we started making out and I squirted. It is a practice. So first you want to start off by focusing on your clitoris. Focus on stimulating your clitoris so that'll help bring blood into the area, right? So if you take a mirror, which I highly encourage everyone with a vulva to take a mirror and take a look at it, once you start to get aroused, you start to get blood flow, the area becomes more engorged. And it also helps to stimulate your internal areas like your G area. So start by focusing on the clit first. And I highly recommend using a toy, especially at the beginning, to figure out your body here, because I know for me, like I had frequent penetrative sex and I did not have G-spot orgasms or squirting until I experienced with a toy, because the squirting happens from applying a lot of pressure to the G-spot, okay? So that is internal pressure. Now you can do it with a finger, inserting a finger or a penis. So Tiffany, you really want to explore here, right? You really want to figure it out and on your own. So yes, fingers or a penis, but I'd say get a great toy and do it for an extended period of time. It creates a lot of pressure on the G-spot. So when you're really turned on, maybe you already had a clitoral orgasm, you can put your middle finger inside, you can use a penis, but I highly recommend, you know, using a toy. But you can start with the finger and you'll feel that G-spot or G area, which is sort of a, it feels like it's about an inch and a half or 2 inches inside. With a come hither motion, using your finger towards your belly button, you'll feel sort of a rough spot, and it's at the front of your vaginal wall. So when you're pushing on it, it's actually erectile tissue that is surrounding the urethra. So as you're stroking that area, you're changing the angle of the urethra to the bladder. So that makes it a little bit easier for that fluid to be released. But if you really want to have the pleasure and the full experience, I highly recommend using a toy. In fact, most of my experiential work of understanding my G-spot and having G-area orgasms and squirting came from using a toy. And here's one you can use, the Soraya Wave. I love the Soraya Wave. It's by Lalo. And if you want to know more, you have to check out this awesome Instagram post I just did, because I gave one to my assistant. I was like, check out the Soraya Wave, because we got a few toys by Lalo and she sent me the most epic video of her trying it out, and you can see what it actually does. It's a really cool vibe that has an external clitoris stimulator and it's really powerful. And then there's a G area stimulator that it's like this pulsing arm that will deliver really satisfying sensations, but it moves in different directions. Like it moves in circles, it vibrates back and forth. I had never seen anything like it. So check out the video. It's awesome. If you want to get one of these, you can get 25% off all Lalo products using the code Emily at checkout. All you got to do is go to lalo.com, L-E-L-O.com, use code Emily. Back to squirting for a minute. So toys are a great way to explore and really be able to control the extensive pressure you have to keep applying to your G-spot. And another thing I want to say is you might feel like you're going to pee when you're reaching an orgasm or you're about to squirt. I say don't stress about it. A lot of times you just got to let go, because the fluid that's coming from the Skene's gland that's behind the G-spot is going to feel like peeing. But don't stress about it. I say it doesn't really matter, but that's what you're going to feel. You might feel like you have to pee. You might have to squirt at that moment. Go into this knowing that there's going to be mess. I'm going to have to let go and see what happens. And tensing and relaxing your pelvic floor is also really helpful. You want to have control of your pelvic floor muscles. You want to kind of be bearing down, like you're pushing out the pee, that bearing down feeling. Having really strong Kegel and pelvic floor muscles really helps. Kegel exercises are that tensing and relaxing, like of stopping and starting the flow of urine. But that bearing down and push, like you're pushing the pee out, is really going to help you in this experience. Don't be hard on yourself, okay? This takes practice. Be compassionate with yourself, that most of these things take several attempts. And so all of you who email me, you're like, I can't have an orgasm. I can't squirt. I can't do all these things. Nothing worth happening is going to happen that quickly and without effort. It's going to take you a few times. So just relax, enjoy the feelings, get curious to all the sensations, and just keep going. So Tiffany, I hear what you're saying about, is it because I'm using a toy and I can't squirt? Listen, your toys are not preventing you from doing anything. Nobody. A lot of people think like, am I numb? Is there something wrong with me? Toys are not going to do that. Toys are actually going to be help facilitating all these experiences, but there's so many factors that are contributing to this symphony of pleasure. So it's, like we said, being healthy, being relaxed, being hydrated, you know, not having all these expectations about what should happen in the moment, and sort of following some of these steps, paying attention to your body, are going to help you experience all of it. Let's talk to Joey, 38, in New York. Hi, Joey. What's going on?
Hi, Emily. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you.
For the longest time, I've always had like a fetish for girls in spandex.
Okay.
I was wondering if that was like normal.
Common. Yeah. It's one of the top 10 fetishes. So you're good. Yeah. Just okay, I think the sooner you, yeah, you're totally, it's common. And yeah, how's it working out for you? Are you able to sort of incorporate it into your life in a healthy way?
I want to introduce it in my relationship, but like I'm kind of struggling as to how to do that.
Well, I can help you out a little bit. Are you in a relationship with someone right now that you feel good about and trust?
Yeah.
Have you ever talked with this person about what you guys are both into? Have you ever said, oh, this is what turns me on, or what's good sex to you?
Like, a little bit.
I think what would be awesome is if you guys have this conversation the next time you're hanging out, and just say, yeah, I realize I've love to know, like, what are your turn-ons? What do you fantasize about? And ask your partner, and then when they ask you, you can say, you know, a few things that turn you on, and say, I just keep fantasizing about you in this latex cat suit. I think it would be so hot to see you in latex boots. Would you ever be down with that? Can I get you a pair? And then when you bring your partner into your fantasy and say, this is why I think this would be hot for both of us, like, then I'm going to peel the dress off of you or the pants off of you with my teeth. You know what I mean? Or I'm going to give you a massage or something that brings them into your fantasy rather than, oh, I've been afraid to tell you that. I've got this latex. I think it's weird that I have a spandex fetish. And do you think it's... No. When you celebrate it, your partner's going to celebrate it. And if they have questions, you could say, yeah, ask me anything. I've had this fetish since I was 6 or 10, and here's why, and here's what's hot about it for me. I think that that's the best way to go about it, is to keep it curious and open and explain what works
for you. That sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Let me know how it goes, Joey. And I hope that when you call and we talk and, you know, we come up with something, the next step, that you actually do that and have that conversation, because the things that we sit on and that we let fester and the things that worry us and trouble us in a relationship, I can tell you, they don't go away. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. They grow like a little tumor inside you. Like, first it's a little penny, then it's a golf ball. It's like that. That's what happens to repressed frustrations, desires, conversations. Whatever you resist in your life is going to persist. Let's talk to Sarah, 19, in Utah. Hi, Sarah. What's going on?
Hi. My question. So I'm with a new partner and we're exploring, like, because with my last one, we never had sex. I don't know. It was just awful. But with this new guy, we're exploring like kinks and stuff like that. And we recently just started, like, people call it a cream pie, or like, that's such a weird way to describe it. But like when the man comes in you. Mm-hmm. And that's something I really enjoy, and I didn't know I would enjoy. And I am on birth control, the next put on, but I was wondering if there's another thing I could add to be even safer and also enjoy this kink, because I don't want to get pregnant, but I also can't get my tubes tied this young just because up.
First, let's describe the cream pie fetish or kink, where you you both get off on him coming inside of you. And sort of allowing it to kind of stay there, right? How do you guys practice it? Because you are on the implant, right?
The implant.
So, I mean, that is really
so just
safe.
No condom, no anything like that.
I mean, the implant is really safe. Is this a mutually satisfying fetish? Because for some people, because you're calling it the cream pie, like, you know, for people it is a fetish. So it could also be on other parts of your body sometimes, right? Like if he ejaculated other parts of your body, could that also... help?
We definitely do that as well, for sure. Okay. And yes, we both enjoy it. It's not something I'd...
Perfect.
But
I always want to check, you know? Yeah, well, you know, I have to tell you also, there's only a few days a month, I'd say about 5, where women can actually get pregnant. And so how much do you know about your ovulation cycle? Now, a lot of women do not know much about it. That's the kind of stuff we should be taught in schools. But if you're also on the implant... You're pretty safe, but you could still track it. You could also use a spermicide. that might also help. So you just feel a little bit safer. Okay. Those are the things that I would recommend. You know, if you were on like a birth control pill, I'd say make sure you take it every day. And with the Nexplanon, you're pretty good. But I like that you're calling in about this. So yeah, I think a spermicide would be helpful. And then also just understanding those days of the month where you can get pregnant.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, I definitely don't know too much about my cycle.
Yeah, I just think it's great for every woman to understand, because I know a lot of women call me and they're like, I'm on the pill and I'm using condoms. Can I get pregnant? I mean, it's very unlikely. You know, I never want to say that you can, that it's unlikely, because then people get careless. But, you know, I think you're good. And then the spermicide is a kind of birth control method that you could use inside of you before you have sex. And that would also be another, literally another layer of protection.
Yeah, which is great. I don't know if it's just like my anxiety about it or what, just like, because that's not something I want in my life.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's great to ask your menstrual cycles, which a lot of women don't really understand. Because we're just not taught it, can tell you when you'll be in the moods for certain kinds of sex. And there's just a lot to learn. And I think once women, when women become empowered to understand their cycle, it just can help them with every area of their life. So,
yeah, I got it. Thank you so much for the advice.
Of course, Sarah. I'm here for you. Of course. Let me know how it goes. Thanks for calling. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.